Amen. Okay, hey Tammy, yesterday and today, you're gonna have to put that microphone closer to your mouth because we don't want to miss one beautiful tone of you singing. It's a little far away, so it's a little muffled. So keep that in check because we want to hear you and worship the Lord. Okay. All right. Let's start. Chapter 21, prayer. 2024. Chapter 21. Chapter 21, prayer, 2024. Prayer is a broad concept, right? In the past, I would pray when in trouble, confused, or wanting something. Is that praying? Probably. Maybe not. Maybe not. People pray to God in all sorts of ways. Well, what does that mean, really? Who is God? Concept or fact? Bible or what? I realized early on, people may not be praying to the same God. At that point, I wanted to be sure God was hearing me. I mean, when people get in trouble, they say, God, help me! Do they know who they're praying to? Do I know who they're praying to? Oh, no, no, God, please, please, God, no. Who are they talking to? They haven't talked to him forever, and last time I talked to them, they weren't sure they believed in God. Now they got a big problem, and it's, oh, God, help me. Okay, who are they praying to? I'm not saying God's not listening. I'm just saying who's listening here? I had to look it up. Years ago, I started thinking, man, when I started to figure it out. But it takes a time. It takes a second to figure it out, doesn't it? Jesus says in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, pray to Jesus or in the name of Jesus. Either way, all good, right? Okay, now I pray for what I want, right? Then I pray for what I want. Well, then I figured out not exactly. I can talk about what I want, but there's more to it. I can talk about what I want. I can. Luke 11:1 says, it teaches five areas. When I came upon that, I was like, wow, it didn't say anything here about what I want, right? Teaches five areas, Luke 11:1, honoring God's name, asking for God's kingdom, give us our daily bread, forgiveness, and deliverance. From what? Sin and stupid. Huh. Nowhere did it say, give me what I want. Matthew 6:5-14 says, to go into your room, close the door, and not to keep on babbling like pagans. Too many words. I thought about that for a lot. I think about that. I think about babbling. It said that in the book. I kind of noticed that word, right? I don't know if it does what it did to me, to you, but babbling like pagans. Again, who were they praying to? Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus gives the apostles the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, so I'm learning about prayer, but the purpose of this chapter, I noted that I could pray and possibly not understand the rules. Rules? God just loves me and he hears me. Well, right there, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he loves me and he prays for back in the day. I mean, I guess I knew it. I grew up Catholic. I guess I knew. But you're getting the point here. We don't really know until we do. And then when we do, we realize there's even more to it than that. If I don't understand the rules, who or what would I be praying to or for? Again, I'm thinking God, fact, fiction, real, or made up by me? Or is it somebody's version of God that I borrowed? I started figuring out maybe I don't know who I'm praying to. Who am I praying to? Who's God? What does the Bible say? God is creator and sustainer, Psalm 104. Redeemer and Savior, Psalm 25:22. Vindicator of the innocent, Psalm 26. Giver of mercy to the guilty, Psalm 51. Okay. Does everybody else say the same thing? Like every other religion, do they say Allah is the creator and sustainer? Allah is the redeemer and savior? Yeah, pretty much they kind of do. They kind of do, but none of them rose from the dead. And on the third day, Allah rose from the... No. Nope. On the third day, Buddha wrote, nope. There's lots of religions in the world. But for the moment, just to make my point, I'm just going to focus on the big five, right? Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, and Judaism. Buddhists revere a variety of divine beings, a whole bunch of them, as does Hinduism. Islam worships Allah and the Supreme Being, and Judaism reveres Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, we know that. We know that seems to be God the Father. Yes, we read about that in the Old Testament. Yahweh, as he is named at many names, but one in particular. Christians are the only believers in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world, and the Son in the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Jews believe in God. However, they absolutely do not recognize Jesus as God or the written, promised Savior of the Jews. And when it comes to the raising of the dead, there is all kinds of goofy stories that are not supported by history about Jesus rising from the dead. All kinds of goofy stories. The apostles stole him, and, you know, and I don't know, all kinds. He wasn't really hurt that bad. Scripture says he was beaten beyond recognition. And then he just got up a couple days later and said, I'm feeling a little bit better. I had a couple of ibuprofen. I'm good. The resurrection is, in fact, verified by Scripture and history and eyewitness testimony. Many. So I saw and see people pray. And I think about all these things. If not Jesus, who hears the prayers? If they're not praying to Jesus, who's hearing the prayers? Nobody? I got to think about that for a second. You should think about that for a second. As a believer, how do I know that I'm praying to Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit? Well, I'll tell you how. Romans 3:23 states that people need to recognize their sins and the need for a Savior. Yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I recognize. Yeah, I need a Savior. Yeah. I'm definitely, yeah. When it comes to white and beautiful, not Pat. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 states that people need to believe that Jesus died for their sins and rose again from the dead. I beg myself to believe that. No, I beg myself to realize that he really did that for me. That when they were beating his face beyond recognition, my name was in his head, that he was doing it for me. Your name. Hey, yeah. Acts 3:19 states that people need to repent for their sins. I am so sorry for the stupid things that I have done. And I remember more and more of them every day, and I've been remembering them for, I don't know, 30 years. Ephesians 2:8-9 states that people need to put their faith in Jesus alone for salvation. I desperately need Jesus the Savior. I desperately need him, and I hope he really does. I hope I didn't miss the bus. I hope he's not, you know, I died for everybody else, but that guy, yeah, I'm going to make an exception. He's not in the club. I want to be in the club. Luke 9:23 states that people need to commit to following Jesus as Lord of their life. I'm not very good at that. Well, no matter how good I get at it, I always feel I'm not very good at it, because the more I know, the more I need to know. Acts 2:38 states that a Christian must be baptized after repenting. Look, I don't know how I was baptized. I remember some fool putting me in a pool and telling me, you know, that I was saved and blah, 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 blah. He was an idiot. The guy that brought me there was an idiot. So was I really baptized? What if I don't think I get all of that? Everything I just said, what if I just think, I don't get it all. I want to, but I'm sure even to this day, I don't understand all of that entirely, including baptized. But God knows my heart. Jesus said so in Luke 16:15. God knows my heart. He knows I want to understand, repent. He knows I want to do better. He knows I want to live according to his will. He knows I struggle. He knows it. In Mark 9:24, a man pleaded to Jesus, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief, my insecurity. Jesus answered the prayer, and that man's son was healed. His child was healed. I'm sure we all feel like that sometimes. I'm sure we all feel like that. If you don't believe in Jesus, I pray you change your mind. If you don't understand Jesus, join the club. Pray and have the Holy Spirit direct you in your studies for a clearer understanding day by day.
What?
What do you mean the Holy Spirit? What?
Look, I wish I had a whole thing on the Holy Spirit. God lives inside of you. Ask for the direction of the Holy Spirit when you don't understand. But get it day by day. Don't tell him, give me the understanding of life so I can get on with it. All this stuff takes up too much time. I don't have time for an assignment to read the book every day. Just give me Holy Spirit, the whole understanding of my entire life. Not possible. You'd die. What? You can't handle God's knowledge and wisdom. He's got to give you a little bit every day or you'll hurt yourself. I can't even do my own knowledge and wisdom every day without hurting myself. How could I do God's? So again, how do I pray? When I want something, is that something God wants or I want? Okay, I'm getting it. I still want. Well, I got to remember something. This little ditty came across my desk one day. God, who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. That sounds pretty serious. Sounds pretty serious just for me to ask for my personal wishes. I'd like a new bicycle, and I need a new, and I need some shoes, and I'd like to be rich, and I want a kingdom, and I want a princess, and I want a really shiny hat, and I want everybody. What am I talking about here, right? What about when I'm mad at God because he won't give me? I asked him yesterday for a kingdom, and he didn't give it to me. I'm mad at him. Or something bad happened to me. Something bad happened to me, and I'm mad at God. James 1:19 tells me the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Meaning anger is going to get in the way. God is God. You're not. Set it down. I got to set it down. I can't blame God. Was I writing my assignments before that? Was I all involved in God? Was I doing everything I was supposed to do? And then one day something bad happens and I'm mad at God, right? I don't even know who he is and I'm mad at him. Well, what about when you do know who he is? When you do know who he is, those who are given much, much is required. Set it down. Set it down. Nothing good can come from it. Ask him to align with you, to help you. He said in that book, bad things would happen. Bad things would happen. So what do I do? The book says, take it all to him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And let him sort it out for you. And with you. Let him sort it out with you. Okay, I'm starting to get it. Prayer requires preparation. I'm starting to get it, right? Back in the day, I remember, I'm starting to get it. It requires preparation. I just can't like, oh man, I got in an accident. God, I pray that I don't get sued. Please, please, please. I can't. I don't get sued. Or they don't find out I don't have insurance. Okay, I'm starting to get this. There's emergency moments. I get it. However, consistency in prayer requires me to be honest and pray to the God in the Bible a lot. To be honest. Hi, God. I suck. I'm not doing anything right. And it's been too long since I talked to you. And I talked to you yesterday, but it was kind of brief. Like I didn't have time to talk to you because why don't I have time for God? Because I'm too busy enjoying all the blessings he gave me. So I don't have time to talk to him. I'm too busy because I'm busy with all the blessings he gave me. So I don't have time to talk to him. What am I starting to think of here? I'm starting to think I'm an idiot. Why? Because without God, I'm an idiot. With God, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm getting something here. This thing's like a muscle that needs to be worked. I got to talk to the God in the Bible. Starting to think it here. When you talk to God, you got to remember who's in the Bible. Without the Bible, I'll always pray for what I want. Without the Bible, I'll always pray for what I want. If I never read the Bible, I'll always pray for what I want. I want a new shiny truck, and I want a Maserati, and I want all the people to think I'm really cool. Yeah, we pray for that stuff. You've prayed for it. I've prayed for it. Make me famous.
Why can't I be famous and they're famous? I don't get it. How come you like them more than me?
Well, I saw those people that I wanted to be like famous 20 years later. They look like they've been hit by a truck. God saved me from what I want. Well, I didn't know that when I was writing this. With the Bible, I begin to pray for what he wants. When I start reading the Bible, I accidentally, inadvertently, without trying very hard, suddenly one day I ask him what he wants. That was an accident. It's a miracle. Did I do that by thinking about it? No. One day I said, hey, what do you want? What do you want? What can I do for you? Or what do you want for me? I came to the conclusion that the Bible is absolute or obsolete. Without that Bible, I couldn't have said that prayer. The Bible's absolute or obsolete. And if it's obsolete, it wouldn't make sense. And the prophecies would be hit and miss. You see, I could have said, if it's obsolete, we're all in a world of trouble. But that'd be a cop-out. If it was obsolete, it wouldn't make any sense. When you start studying, it makes sense. When people say, I read it and I don't understand it. That's like saying I read the instruction manuals for the computer in the other room and I don't understand how they built it. This is a document you got to sit with and study. And when you do, it speaks to you. God speaks to you. If it was obsolete, it wouldn't make sense and the prophecies would be hit and miss. It does make sense over thousands of years. When you read it, it makes sense. And the prophecies that are in that are 100% accurate. You know how many people have tried to prove that not true? Many people smarter than you or I. You know what they came up with? Too bad, so sad, Daddy-O. They're all accurate. So no chance it's obsolete. Even though the world, or more accurate, the government, wants you to believe that, and it says at best it's outdated. Why? Power. The government wants power. This country was built on Jesus Christ. Judeo-Christian values, built on it. And today we try to take God out of everything. The government wants God out of everything because the government wants to be God. Let me get off of it. I digress. Not to believe Jesus is insane. Not to believe the book is risky at best because you don't get to know Jesus. Becoming familiar with God is a part of prayer. Like, hey, I read this stuff. Why? How? And if he loves everybody and he busted up the church, he went in and threw everything over and got mad at him. Does God get mad? Yeah. That's a whole other story. Does God get mad? Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be on the side of that. How do I know that? How does Pat know this stuff? It's in the book. So when he talks to me, I can pray to him. He can tell me why. Can I hear him? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So let's take a look at some rules that could help praying. Could actually be praying. Believe in Jesus and pray to the Father through Jesus. My God, help me, help me, help me. I say in Jesus' name, amen. Believe in Jesus and pray to the Father. 1, 2. Recognize the Holy Spirit as God and pray the same. Holy Spirit in me, direct me. Direct me so that I am in line with God. I'm in with the wishes of God. I recognize you, Holy Spirit. I recognize that you are in me. Direct me, and keep me from myself. 3, study the book daily to understand the voice of God. Duh. And who am I talking to when I say duh? Me. Why? Did I not read the book? I didn't have time. Why didn't I have time? I was too busy enjoying the blessings that God had given me and abusing them. By the way, study the book daily to understand the voice of God, to be able to hear it. 4, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Always remember that God is in control. I'm so concerned about politics. I'm so concerned about who's going to be president. I'm so upset with the left and the right and the middle and the home. I'm so upset. I want this to happen. I want that to happen. Remember, God is on the throne. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. 1, believe in the Father. Believe in Jesus and pray to the Father through Jesus. 2, recognize the Holy Spirit as God and pray the same. 3, study the book daily to understand the voice of God. 4, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior always. Question. So anyone who does not believe in Jesus shouldn't pray? Answer. Who would they be praying to? I want you to give this some thought. If an enemy knew what you wanted, could you not easily be manipulated? Who would protect you if you don't believe in Jesus? So if you're praying to, I don't know what, I want this and I want that, and I'm upset about this and I'm upset about that. Can you imagine telling that to your number one enemy? Because if you're not praying to God, the devil is listening. I always tell you about that song, you know. You're going to serve somebody. Maybe the devil, maybe the Lord. You're going to serve somebody. I always forget who did that, but I'll think of it in a second. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So how are you going to know the difference? Without the Bible and without prayer to Jesus Christ saved your life. How would I know that if I didn't believe in Jesus? Why would I read the book and the scripture if I didn't believe in Jesus? Can you imagine what could happen to you if your enemy number one could know what you liked, what you wanted, what you coveted? How easily could you be destroyed? You would be praying for everything you wanted on this earth. What does that look like? I want everyone to love me. Okay, so the devil makes you a drug dealer. Oh, that sounds like a really good idea. These things are real. 1 John 2:17. This world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds a lot better than everything's going to fade away here in a minute. Without the book, I don't know who God is or what pleases him. He might as well be Santa Claus. And if I'm a good boy, I'll get what I want. So I guess if I'm not getting what I want, I'm not a good boy, right? Wrong. God protects me from what I want. God protects me from what I want. Hopefully, he will get my attention before it's too late. Hopefully, he'll get your attention before it's too late. In prayer, asking what I can do for him and thanking him for everything, that's an idea. That's a concept. That's new. Suddenly, I begin to feel a peace when I'm praying to the one true God, the one written in Genesis. The one written in Genesis, right? God the Father, God the Son who died on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Helper that came later, Isaiah 49:16. So I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me, your walls. All the stuff that's really hard for you, he's standing there with you, man. If you're praying to the guy, I say it all the time, how can you have the promises if you're praying to something besides the God that made the promise? How can you have the promises that God gives if you're praying to something else? He stands with you and me at the challenge, the wall, so to speak. The God in the Bible stands with you. He promises that. He promises it. Promises. And he never lies. Believers can be the worst. Praying when God has already answered. God has already said no or stand still. Stop it. But we don't like the answer, so what do we say? What do we say? We don't like the answer that he said. Psalm 10. Oh, Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I am in trouble? Yeah, that's right. He's answered the prayer when people are talking like that. He's answered it. Just think, thank God for unanswered prayers. He answers. I've never known him not to answer. He answers. You just don't like the answer. You don't like what he said. He's already said it. He's not going to answer you 50 times. He said it. Spurgeon writes, who's Spurgeon? A preacher in the mid to late 1800s describes it like this. Sometimes we have desires that we cannot express. They're too big, too deep. We cannot clothe them in a language. At other times, we have desires which dare not express. We feel too low. We see too much of our own undeserving nature to be able to venture near the throne of God to utter our desires. But the Lord hears the desire when we cannot or dare not turn it into the actual form of prayer. Surely none but the Lord can prepare a heart for prayer. Get that. Surely none but the Lord can prepare a heart for prayer. It is far harder work to raise the big bell in the steeple than to ring it afterwards. That's great. It's harder to raise the bell to put it up there in the steeple than it is to ring it afterwards. This witness is true. When the bell is well hung, you can ring it readily enough. But in that uplifting of the heart lies the work and the labor. You see, the relationship Spurgeon's talking about, that takes some work. If I'm busy praying and learning, I generally don't make as many mistakes. Prayer is my conversation with God while I'm working, praying, and learning. But I got to be ready, having prayed directly, read the book daily. Like he said, installing the bell is hard. But after that, it's easy to ring. It's easy because you know how to do it, and you did it, but you did the work with questions as well as requests, a hope of understanding his word, his still small voice. What's that you say? His still small voice. What's that you say? I thought he'd be a roar. No. Still small voice. 1 Kings 19:12. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. What's that you say, Pat? After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah the prophet heard that, he pulled his cloak over his face. He felt the presence of God and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" A gentle whisper brought Elijah to the mouth of the cave. Not the big fire, not the earthquake, a gentle whisper. Prayer's a big deal, and talking to God is huge. He's not Santa Claus, he's God, and God is big. He's not Santa Claus. And then I want another, and I want the princess to love me, and I want her to be more beautiful and everybody be jealous of me. It sounds like the God that we're talking about is a little bigger than all that, right? Best I learned to discuss highly important issues with him and allow the Holy Spirit to guide me in these issues, because if they are highly important issues, they are God's work. That's the only highly important issue any of us have. Jeremiah 29:12, you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Bingo, God needs to move the whole world around you to make happen the good things he has for you. So you got to be patient. Do you want to be patient? No, I prayed to him and he didn't answer me. I prayed that I want this deal to happen right now. It didn't happen. Talk to him in prayer. Be patient, even if you don't know how. I don't know how. You'll have a helper. Who's the helper? Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Well, I got plenty of that, right? We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. What's that mean? I don't know, because I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I do know the Holy Spirit is God. And when I pray wrong, the Holy Spirit intercedes and says, "This is what he means, boss. This is what he means. This is what you mean. This is what he means." Revolt against yourself, kids, and evolve into a new creation in Christ. Evolve, revolt against yourself and your busy nature. You're too busy to do a little favor for God here or there, to do the work that God has. Too busy with the blessings he's given you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, fear is without the knowledge and reckoning of God. Fear is without God. With God, you have caution. You're careful, you understand, you see, you're humble in the wisdom of the Lord. Get it? Fear is without God. Caution is with God. Oh, yeah, Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Yeah, that's truth. Now, that's a prayer. I didn't see any of the princess loves me and I want a golden cart to drive in and a Maserati and I didn't see that. What about terror? What about when I got terror? I'm in terror. All of you have experienced that, right? When you had zero in your bank account, terror. Good question. Terror is where I learned the power of prayer. Terror. That's where we start. Yep. God, give me, help me. Ah. But if you don't take it from there, if you don't take it from there, you won't ever get Proverbs 3:25. The Lord will be my confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Oh my God in heaven, is that true? Proverbs 3:25, the Lord will be my confidence and will keep my foot from being caught? My God. When I read that, I was like, oh my God, really? My God. You do that for me? You're watching me? When you have the universe to watch and you're watching that? It'll be my confidence? My. Not everybody's. Well, it is. But me. He's talking about me. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now this is the end. So here we go. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. What? Well, so where do I get what I want? I still don't get it. How do I pray? What do I pray for? I need what I need? No, I want what I want. Pause. In the Bible it says Selah. Pause. Boom. What I want is not the gig. I need what I need. There you go. Need. Need. You finally got it. Want is the problem. Need is the solution. God will give me what I need. In prayer, through prayer, with Him, walking with Him. What I want may not be good. I know it wasn't for me. What you want may not be good for you. It wasn't for me, man. So in closing, let's go back to the top and revisit. Luke 11:1 teaches five areas how to pray. Honoring God's name, asking for God's kingdom, His will, His kingdom. When His kingdom comes, that you're a part of it. Give us this day our daily bread, whatever I got to do today. Forgiveness for all the stupid things I've done and wasteful things I've done in my life, and deliver me from sin. The word need is the key. Just what I need today to serve God. Jesus, help me do just that. Luke 12:37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Oh, what was that? I have to do something? Yeah. You have to be ready. You have to prepare. You have to prepare for prayer. And in the preparing of prayer, you're preparing yourself for the following. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those slaves who the master will find on the alert when he comes. Who's the slave? You and me. A slave to Jesus Christ. Does it sound weird? Too bad. It's the best thing ever. Blessed are those slaves whom the master, who's the master? Jesus. Are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Ready. Prayed up. Studied up. Chapter 21, Prayer 2024. If you don't believe this commentary on prayer to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, with the helper of the Holy Spirit, please change your mind. Amen, amen. John, let's go.